Good morning. How are y'all this wonderful Resurrection Day? Before we go further in the resurrection direction, I want to take some time. I've asked Mitchell to come and share. Most of you all know that he spent some time, 10 days, in Jamaica, working with a team that went from here to there to help take care of some things. And I asked him to come and take some time and share with us what went on. So we're going to do that.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So, if you didn't know, I went to Jamaica, but not to hang out at the beach and drink Mai Tais. I went to Jamaica because I was asked by a good friend of mine, some of you guys know, David Anderson, called me up about a month ago, and he said, hey, we've been talking about you doing some outreach stuff with me. I might have something that would suit you. There's a team going from here to Jamaica after the hurricane to do some disaster recovery work. They need some guys that know how to build things and fix things to go with them. What do you think? And I said, let me check my calendar. And I had availability. Mandy and I talked about it. I prayed about it. And I said, why not? I'll go do that. When I said, why not? I'll go do that. It sounded exciting. But then I got to thinking and I was like, I don't know about this. Because it's a team of 13. They said 13 or 14. And it ended up being 16 of us going over there. And I knew absolutely zero of them. So I had to have an argument with myself a bunch about whether or not I really wanted to go, and I didn't want to go stay for a week with a whole bunch of people I didn't know from from the Church of the Highlands, right? And so we kind of have a subconscious stigma about mega churches and you know, am I going to fit in with them? And so that was my first hurdle to get over was, you know, I said I was going to do this, and I believe that I was supposed to do this, so I'm going to go and do this. And that was, I argued with myself a bunch, and then they pushed the trip back. So we were supposed to leave on the 17th, and they pushed it back a week, which left me for another week to debate with myself over whether or not I was actually going to go, and couldn't I just find a way out of it? So 3:30 in the morning, I showed up at the airport. Mandy dropped me off, and I knew nobody. I just went to the Delta counter and figured I'd figure it out when we got on the plane. I knew that some of them were going to be wearing red shirts, and so a couple of them poked up and introduced themselves, and I said, hey, looks like you're going to Jamaica. I'm going to Jamaica too. And they said, oh, are you going with us? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, what campus are you with? And I was like, I'm not with a campus. So that I had to explain that a whole bunch. So I was an outsider, but I knew that, you know, that's what I wanted to do. So Dad asked me to come and say a few things. I put together like a 3-minute slideshow of some pictures of some stuff, and I'll talk a little bit more. We'll play the slideshow. I'll tell you, I didn't really know what to say because I just went to Jamaica for a week to work. It's really not that big a deal. It was a lot of hard work. I burnt my hands. I cut my hands. Apparently, I tore a tendon in my bicep. It was a lot of work, sun up to sun down every single day. But as I was praying about it when I was on the flight back and thinking about a lot of the things that that we saw and did, and it was such a short period of time, but we got to know a lot of people over there. There was one thing that just kept resonating with me, so I'll tell you guys what that is when we're done, but I'll kind of talk you through. So that was the team. We did not do anything except for the night before we left. The night before we left, so over on the left is the pastor and his wife, and you'll see her in a minute. She actually preached on Sunday morning because they have two campuses over there. And then on the far right is Ralph. He's ex-Jamaican military. He was kind of our liaison. He hung out with us the whole time. Him and his wife, who's in the blue shirt right there. Everybody else was one of the team members that was over there. And interesting thing about this picture, and I forgot my hat this morning, but you see all the team members have a different hat on. That night, at the beach, which is where they took us for dinner, the pastor's wife gave everybody a hat. And the hats have their ministry on the back of it and has everybody's name on the side of it. And she said, she was like, I stood in the store and I waited till each hat told me who it needed to go to. And then I got that. And then she had a lady from the church embroider them. So we'll just kind of roll the roll it when you're ready. And there is music, so make sure it doesn't blow everybody out. So that was the last night. They took us to a little tiki bar restaurant on the beach. That's the building we stayed in. That's their church. I was up on that roof for 3 solid days and climbing around some sketchy Jamaican scaffolding. We had to cut the eaves off, which took 2 days of cutting steel. We were able to get to the schools. That's Tim. He's a school teacher here. Hey, pause it for just a second. I'll tell you something about the outreach. So most of the guys, I got paired up with a guy who is he's in construction, been in construction all of his life. So he and I got the task that nobody else wanted. So we were up on the roof for 3 days, cutting steel and dealing with fiberglass and repaneling. And just, it was hard work. It was a lot of really hard work, but it was good to do. The couple of the wives and Tim, who's a school teacher, they were able to get out into the community a handful of times and go and talk to the kids. And one of the things that Tim said that blew him away, first of all, the kids over there are awesome. They're super respectful and super polite and super appreciative. They live in life, right? But Tim was able to stand up in the classroom, 5th grade and 6th grade, and talk about God openly and tell them, hey, he's got a plan and a purpose for you. He wants you to know him. Like, he was able to witness to those kids in the classroom. And he was telling me, he was in our room. There were 4 of us in the room. And he was saying, man, it blew me away when I was able to stand. He said, all the kids welcomed me in and they were asking me questions about being from the States, but we all talked about God openly. And he said, it was just amazing that we were able to do that. So he was really impressed by that. He had a drone with him, so you'll see some drone photographs. He was able to take the drone out with the kids, they were wearing the goggles and having a good time with the drone. We were able to take some gifts over. You'll see in the back, that's kind of a typical house for over there. It's concrete and block with tin roofs most of the time. Their building reminded me, their construction reminded me a lot of what we've seen in the pictures from Kenya. It was very, like, we watched some guys pour footers for the house that they were working on. We were up on the roof of the building watching them pour footers, and they literally hand-mixed and bucket-graded the entire footer system for this house. So it was 13 guys. 4 of them were just mixing sand in Portland, and then they were just scooping it up into 3-gallon buckets, and they were bucket-brigading that thing into the hole, pouring it. And then they would build columns, and then they would come back in and put block in. The houses that weren't block and concrete like that, or you're going to see in a minute, most of those houses are stick framed with whatever that they could find to frame it with. And I was telling some of the guys, I've pushed houses or pushed sheds down here in the States that were better built than some of the stuff that we were working on over there. So pretty interesting, the construction side of all of that. Scotch bonnet peppers, we'll talk about those later. We found out that was in the market. That was our chef. He cooked for us twice a day and fixed lunch. He was actually the first guy I met when I was over there. This is the fellowship hall. You can pause it right now real quick. So that roll-up door you see on the right, when the hurricane came through, it blew that door in. And you can see that electrical conduit. So it blew the door in. It took out all of the ceiling grid in this side of the fellowship hall. It knocked that wall. It knocked that wall about 5 feet in. And when the team was over there in November, they were actually able to jack that thing back into place, but it's still all the damaged sheetrock was there. And so that was what, while we were up on the roof, there was a couple of teams inside and they were working on getting all that put back together. We ended up by the end of the trip, the new ceiling grid is in, the new lights are in, all the trim is up, the door is fixed. Everything was fixed in that space by the time we were out of there, which was great.